I'm Cokey Roberts, and you're listening to NPR American Chronicles. History makers often leave their mark when the world is not looking, and some of the most interesting characters in American history are the persons, and so far they have been women, who are married to the presidents of the United States, America's first ladies. It's not a job for the faint of heart. First ladies, by the very nature of their proximity to the president, attract a good deal of scrutiny. They can get into hot water for doing too much or too little, for stepping out on difficult issues, or lobbying for change in an entrenched system. It's a rare treat to bring you stories of our first ladies that go beyond the public persona and the adoring gaze. From Martha Washington to Mary Lincoln to Michelle Obama, these stories take a close look at the personalities and the passions of the women who have left their mark on our nation. All of my childhood, I heard the stories of my ancestor, William Claiborne, who in 1790 went to work for Congress, where he met the men we think of as the Founding Fathers. It was a story I loved to hear. The more I researched Claiborne, the more I wondered what the women in his life were doing while he embarked on his many adventures. In fact, it made me wonder about all the women who were founding the nation alongside these men. And that's one of my reasons for writing Founding Mothers, The Women Who Raised Our Nation. I talked about my book with NPR's Renee Montaigne.
The women profiled in Founding Mothers are mostly elite, by definition, since they had influence on the politically powerful Founding Fathers. Their writings have survived through the years because these women were mostly educated. Beyond that, what they had in common, Cokey writes, is that these women were tough and they rose to the occasion.
You know, we forget the Revolutionary War went on for 8 long years. And these women were either on the home front, defending their turf and trying to keep the farming business or even a legal business going, or they went to camp. I think you can say that Martha Washington was responsible for keeping troops from deserting. They were demoralized, and she would go in and she would pray with them, she would nurse the sick, and the troops loved her. And after she became First Lady, they would come around, veterans all the time, to visit her, and she would reminisce with them and give them some handouts, but also should lobby Congress to give them decent veterans benefits.
In the run-up to the war, and this would be 1767, 1768, the fight was on over unjust taxes that Britain had levied on the colonies. And one weapon that was fully at the disposal of women was the boycott.
And they used it. The newspapers of the time called on all citizens, male and female, explicitly to avoid shopping at certain places because the shopkeeper was importing British goods. And they organized. They had spinning bees where they made their own cloth so that the British cloth did not have to be imported. One of the best symbols of it was funeral processions. Mourning wear came in from Britain. So people suddenly started wearing colors to funerals so that they would show the British that they meant it. They were not going to buy anything British made. It was very hard on the women, and they did it. And they persecuted any shopkeeper who they thought was either importing from Britain or hiking up the price of local goods. And Abigail Adams wrote a very funny letter to John. "A number of females, some say 100, some say more, assembled with a cart and trucks, marched down to the warehouse and demanded the keys, which he refused to deliver, upon which one of them seized him by his neck and tossed him into the cart. He delivered the keys when they tipped up the cart and discharged him, then opened the warehouse, hoisted out the coffee themselves, put it into the trucks, and drove off. It was reported he had a spanking among them, but I believe this was not true. A large concourse of men stood amazed, silent spectators of the whole transaction."
There was a transplanted American, Esther Reed. She actually wrote letters, as did many of these women, that revealed a real savvy, subtle take on politics. And the one that was amusing to me was she wrote asking about Benjamin Franklin on different occasions, and he was in London, and she had friends in London. And basically, she portrays him as a guy, as a politician who's got his finger in the wind.